Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Geez, I'm getting hoarse. That hoarseness won't occur for a while because my hoarseness is due to overzealous yelling or cheering, or it actually was yelling, at my home team, Cleveland Cavaliers, who have dysfunction in their ranks, if you will. So that may be part of the cause of my hoarseness in this show. Bridget, one of the things that, and the second one, is that I'm a little sleep deprived because I had to get up for a very early plane in order to make it to my next stop so that we could do the radio show. You're getting too little sleep when we should fill in the blank. One of the things is you are asleep before you hit the pillow. So it should take some time to get to sleep. You know you're getting too little sleep when, Bridget?
When you drive and are falling asleep at the light.
Right. If you fall asleep at the light, you're getting too little sleep. When you're tired, crabby, hungry, and forgetful, and when you crave food or drink or sex. Those are things that are all together in your brain, and what you will crave one of the others if you don't get enough of each. So a little bit of extra sleep goes a long way. Dr. Lang and I in the preventive medicine department at the Cleveland Clinic both have decided over the last 2 years to go to bed an hour earlier so we make sure we get enough sleep. The question is, what are seven things you shouldn't do when you're sleep deprived? So, Bridge, go ahead. Take one.
Yep, these are good, I thought. So the first is driving, because sleepy drivers are a risk to all of the other drivers on the road. And a researcher from Henry Ford Hospital Sleep Disorders and Research Center said that from experimental studies, they've found that just 4 hours of sleep loss can produce an impairment that's similar to driving after drinking a six-pack, which is pretty incredible when you think about it.
Right, and in fact, we did this. This was done by a guy named Lance Lichter at the University of Chicago, did this before and found that, in fact, if you stayed up for 24 hours, it was the equivalent of your drinking with a blood alcohol level of 0.8. If you stayed up for 36 hours, we had transplant surgeons who were part of the volunteer, it was the equivalent of you having a 0.16 alcohol level, very inebriated. And if you stayed up for 48 hours, it was 0.25. It was as though you were making a random decision. And that changed a lot of what transplant surgeons do, in fact, of that. And that goes to a second thing, which is you shouldn't make important decisions. There is a biologic reason for something seems like a good idea when you're tired may not actually be the best bet. In a 2011 study, researchers observed increased brain activity in areas that assess positive outcomes after sleep deprivation, and decreased activity in things that warn you about negative outcomes. Thus, you're more likely to make decisions that you seem are good because you think of the positive, but in fact, there's a substantial negative that you don't weigh. Okay, now, Bridge, let's go to the next one. What's the third thing you shouldn't do?
Go grocery shopping, which is a huge one. They found in one study that people end up, when they're sleep deprived and shopping, that they purchase more and higher calorie foods than they would have if they had slept well the night before. And we actually covered that study when it came out. They found that the men in the study loaded their carbs with 9% more calories and 18% more grams of food after a night of little sleep. And it's likely to do, well, there's a lot of things that are probably going on, but mainly people's drive to eat more after sleeping less because of higher levels of ghrelin and lower levels of leptin.
So, and another one is you shouldn't do online shopping because you're impulsively likely to choose things that are more expensive than you would. So it isn't just groceries that are affected. It is your impaired judgment after a night of inadequate sleep. Give me another one.
Grab an energy drink. So instead of grabbing an energy drink, if you need to stay awake, it's better to take a brisk walk or a nap, if that's feasible with your schedule, instead of jolting up on an energy drink because of the risks associated with drinking energy drinks.
But in fact, caffeine or coffee is fine. Have the real stuff, not the decaffeinated stuff. Don't brag about it. That's number six. Why? Because nothing fosters unhealthier sleep climate than participating in what editor-in-chief of the Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington, says is sleep-deprived one-upmanship. In reality, a very select few of us are actually short sleepers, meaning very few of us can get by on just 4 hours a night. The rest of us should help change the conversation about sleep by being more aware of how important it is. And the last thing, Bridget?
The last thing is to not pick a fight because, and I'm sure that many of the listeners can identify with this, after not sleeping well the night before, you're more likely to be highly emotional from not sleeping. So a lot of times you will overreact or handle situations or fight in a different way. So maybe waiting until you sleep well to pick a fight with your partner or your friend or your roommate or whoever.
Okay. We're going to take a question from Victor as our tip of the week. I'm just going to start with the question, not give you the answer, but the question is, Victor, who is 55 and says his father died at 57 and an uncle died at 57. So he said, I'm close. I need aspirin. What can I take instead to lower my heart attack risk? Because I think I'm allergic to aspirin. You can always send us questions at udocs@gmail.com. That's udocs@gmail.com. And if I don't know the answer and Google doesn't know it easily either, we'll find it from another expert. In any case, Victor will get his answer when we come back from the break. We're also going to talk about what you should do if you're stressed by the work-life balance. And you had another favorite one, Bridge, and I'm forgetting it. I think it is, does rinsing fruit make a difference? And which fruits should we rinse or not? And how do you rinse them to make a difference? You listen
you
to
you,
the Owner's Manual radio show on Health Radio, on, I'm sorry, on RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual radio show on RadioMD.com, which is Stay Well. We also have a number of stations, and a new one just joined us this week, WELW in and around Cleveland at 1330 on the dial. When you're out of the local area, for example, you're not in Syracuse, you're in Sarasota, and you want to hear what's on the radio show, like Joe Galuski probably does right now, he's listening on RadioMD.com. But of course, there are big stations in Florida, in Tampa and Orlando, as well as I think one in Venice that carries their show. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show, and answer Victor's question. Radio MD, stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.